I just came up here because I won't be here Sunday for all the testimonies from everybody. So I just wanted to tell you all that camp was really fun for the 2.5 days that I was there. But thanks, Brother Crawford. Yeah, y'all need to keep in prayer for him. Last night, Brother Pope, he's a really motivational speaker, and he preached on Hill, and it'll send shivers down you, and just by the way he was talking, there was numerous amounts of hands that went up of people who didn't know they were saved or not, and there was only like 5 that actually came to know Jesus as their Savior, and keep them in prayer. But camp is fun. I lost my voice trying to scream at the other teams in the games. Keep them in prayer.
Amen. Good job. Amen. It was good. Message has been great. Brother, talk about motivational speaker. Last night, Brother Pope preached on hell for an hour and a half to teenagers. And I'm talking about preaching on hell like it was when I was a kid. I mean, just for an hour and a half. And it was really good. Did a tremendous job. He has, I think this year he's been a little more serious than he was last year. And but the kids have just listened to him. It's amazing. Camp is at capacity. Crowd. I mean, there's as many as they can hold. I don't know, probably 300 or 400 teenagers there. Just tremendous, tremendous. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we'll definitely cover Daniel again next Wednesday night, along with our first preacher from the pew, which is Brother Clark, I think. Are you the first one or not? It's somebody. It's not, next Wednesday night's VBS. So I'll be preaching next Wednesday night on something. So anyway, Daniel, Vacation Bible School takes up my preaching time. We got to get a priority straight around here. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Daniel 1:1. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king, and goes on and speaks about the master of the eunuchs and so forth and so on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We have very short time here tonight. And Lord, what a tremendous book. God, we thank you for such a great life that Daniel lived. I pray, God, that each of us would take just note of how Daniel lived, and Lord, we might try to emulate that life. And God, we pray that we would be the light we should be to our friends, and to our neighbors, to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. The name Daniel means God is my judge. Means God is my judge. He was taken to captivity during the first siege of Jerusalem by Babylon. Now, again, when was Ezekiel taken? Y'all remember from last week's sermon? He was taken in the second siege. And so remember now, there were 3 sieges of Babylon. One in 606, that's when Daniel was taken and his 3 friends. And then one in 597, that's when Ezekiel was taken. And then the last one was in 586 B.C. And then the temple was destroyed and so forth. The city was destroyed. And so Daniel was taken in that very first siege. And basically what they did, if you go down and you read through here, they were finding the children which had no blemish. Verse 4 says, that were well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they took the choice young men from Jerusalem and from the country of Israel, and took them to Babylon. There they entered the king's university, Babylon University, BU, right? Babylon University. And so that wasn't original with me. I came up, Babylon University. And the king appointed them, verse 5, a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you know, we always call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm probably still going to do it from time to time, but we really ought to call them by their Jewish Hebrew names instead of by their pagan heathen names. But anyway, so Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. We don't call Daniel Belteshazzar. Yeah, anyway. And Hananiah, and to Shadrach and Meshach, and Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Daniel's requests. Y'all remember this, don't you? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, that's one of the greatest passages in the Bible. And if it's not underlined in your Bible, you ought to underline it. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. I tell you, we need to be proactive in our decisions. We ought to be proactive in our decisions. Our teenagers need to be that. Proactive. I'm going to take some proactive decisions. I'm going to be at church. I'll take a proactive decision. I'm not going to go play baseball on Wednesday night. That's a proactive decision I make. Because God's more important than baseball, right? Amen? I make proactive decisions. I make proactive decisions about the way in which I am going to behave in the areas of personal standards. I make proactive decisions about my kids and what they may or may not wear, where they may not go. And we ought to make decisions on our own, proactive decisions about where we will not go, what we will not wear, what we will not say. Amen? What we will not... Maybe we should say what we will not eat as well, but we won't go into that. But Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. This is one of the greatest portions. If you have a child or a teenager that you're having a difficult time with, you ought to sit down and read this chapter to him or her and say, "Hey, here's a young man, a teenager, who purposed in his heart he would not defile himself, that he would keep the commandments of God and keep going." Verse 9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should you see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Say, I'm not going to do this, Daniel. I don't want to lose my head because you guys have look worse after those days and you become pale and sickly. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." So for 10 days, he said, "Give us pulse, give us vegetables, beans. We do not want to defile ourselves with the meat that's been sacrificed to the gods of Babylon." This was not an advocate of being a vegetarian. He was opposed to eating the meat because it had been sacrificed to the gods of Babylon. All right? So, we know the story that they were given the pulse, they were given the vegetables and beans, and when at the end of the 10 days, their countenance was better than all the rest of the students there. And it says at the end of the 10 days, verse 15, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children that which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And Melzar says there that he took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them what? 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. By the way, Daniel lived to be an old man. Probably about 90 years old when he died. He lived all the way to King Cyrus. What an amazing, amazing ministry that he had. Daniel ministered during the entire 70 years of captivity and lived to be about 90 years old. what John, what the apostle was, Daniel is, again, is the prophet. Both were beloved, and both received visions from God. Daniel is a picture of unwavering godliness. He is one of the few men in the Bible about which whom nothing evil is said. Nothing evil is ever said about Daniel. What a great testimony Daniel had. He probably wrote the book about 530 B.C. The theme of the book, and I've got a couple of different themes, but I still like the one Brother Sturt has, and is God rules in the affairs of men. God rules in the affairs of men. Listen, God determines who is king and who is not. God raises up leaders and God puts them down. Amen? By the way, that's good for us today. Obama's in the White House. God's in control. Amen? I tell you what, I can get so discouraged, as I've told you before, by reading the newspaper. I read it when I got home today. Reading some of the stuff in there discouraged me today. It's like... But God's on the throne. Amen? God is on the throne. Amen. Daniel's prophecies reveal the rising and falling of the Gentile nations and the coming kingdom of God. All the kingdoms of earth have an end, but the kingdom of God will last forever. All these kingdoms are going to be gone. All the problems over in the East, they're going to be gone. The Middle East, they're going to be gone. Only God's kingdom will last forever. We talked about that in Ezekiel. Daniel is the prophet of the times of the Gentiles. You've heard that term, the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles began with King Nebuchadnezzar, basically. And then you have the end of the time of the Gentiles, which began basically when Nehemiah finished the walls. And we began to come ushering in, and that someday the time of the Gentiles will be over, and the Jews will be back in the forefront. Amen? Amen? You know why I amen that? Because if it happens right now, I'm in heaven. Because the time of the Jew will happen when the rapture takes place. The times of the Gentiles will be over. Amen? And we're there. We're so close. It's unbelievable. I believe that. You know, the Bible talks about there over there in Peter. It says, where are the prophecies of His coming? He hasn't come. And they began to mock Him. And I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. Happening right before our eyes. Amen. Daniel is the prophet of the times of the Gentiles. This is the time period in which the Gentile nations have dominion over Israel. It began with Babylon captivity, and it will end when Christ comes to rule and reign at His second coming. Now, I looked at how to go about teaching the book of Daniel, and we'll try to cover maybe the first two or three chapters, and then we'll do the rest of them in a couple of weeks. All right? Remember, Daniel is, again, the encourager of the Jew. In exile, he is being a witness to his captors. Understand, he is in captivity, and yet he is encouraging the Jews who are in captivity while he is being a witness to the ones who captured him. The Bible says that God gave him favor to those who were around him. We find that he is ten times wiser, him and his three friends, ten times wiser than any of the other astrologers and any other musicians and all of this. In fact, as you looked in Daniel's life, throughout his life, he, again, not only does he do this underneath King Nebuchadnezzar, but underneath King Cyrus he becomes in good favor with. I mean, all the way till the time he's 80 or 90, he's still the second in command or right up there at the very top. Well, whoever's ruling, it doesn't matter whether it's Babylon or the Medo-Persian Empire. That's an amazing man. He is just a fantastic man. I'd encourage you today, I just kind of read back through the book of Daniel. And it's so refreshing just to read back through it again. What a tremendous man Daniel was. Again, we see again he was an encourager to the Jew and yet witnessing to those who had him captured. One of the themes that's come up a lot in the last two or three weeks is being a follower of Jesus. I don't know why it continues to be come up, but it has. And I appreciate it. I've got a couple of emails about it. They were all good, by the way. I appreciate that. We ought to be witnesses to those around us. Wherever we're at, we ought to be true followers of Jesus. The true God's sovereign rule and His future program for Jew and Gentile. In Daniel, we see the true God's sovereign rule, God rules in the affairs of men, and His future program for Jew and Gentile. God has a plan. God had a plan, and He gave that plan to Daniel. Daniel had two great pictures, if you would, two great visions of how the Gentile powers would be laid out in the future. In Daniel, we see the fading into captivity and the past and the fall of Jerusalem again. We see this also in Ezekiel. Some of the great verses. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar. There is a God in heaven. Aren't you glad? Amen. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. We're going to come back and look at some of these same chapters. I just want you to see a couple of these verses. Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. They that shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen. Remember, he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. God's going to, literally, King Nebuchadnezzar's going to go crazy. And they shall wet thee with the dew of the heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know, listen to this little phrase, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man. I again remind you, God's in control. God's in control. Look at chapter 5, verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Listen to that phrase. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Belshazzar, you have taken the instruments of God and have drank wine out of them. And as you're lifting up the wine glass, you're praising the gods of silver and gold, which hear not, while all the time forgetting the God that holds your very breath in His hands. Amen? Let me tell you, Acts chapter 17 says the very same thing. It says that in God we live and move and have our being. God holds our very existence, our very breath in His hands. Amen. I'm breathing tonight because God's allowing it. Amen. All right. Chapter 1, we read nearly all of chapter 1. And actually, we did read all of chapter 1. Again, we have four promising royal Jewish captives in the University of Babylon in preparation for government service. So, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar took all the choice young men and put them into this university to train them. Understand that their training is happening before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has not been destroyed yet. The temple is still standing. Historians tell us or suggest that this training was taking place so that King Nebuchadnezzar could take these young men and put them back into power in Jerusalem. That originally King Nebuchadnezzar he was not going to destroy Jerusalem. He was going to take and put these young men back and allow them to rule there in Jerusalem and to do so. Now, they would have ruled differently because they would have been immersed in Babylonian society and Babylonian customs and religion and so forth. But that was the plan, to get them immersed there in the Babylonian university and then put them back into their culture and so that they could, again, influence their culture and influence society and rule there in society and so forth. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. That's what the Babylonians did to each particular society that they conquered. Each culture they conquered, they took young people, brought them to their universities, taught them, and then sent them back. And then allowed their Babylon culture to permeate the other society. And it worked for them. Very, very powerful, powerful country. A ruler over most of the then known world. and just a mighty, mighty man. Again, if you study history, I wished I was a better student of it, but King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest leaders of all time. He did things that shouldn't have been done or couldn't be done, but he did them. It's an amazing, amazing leader. In chapter 2, we have a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. We'll end with this. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the musicians. So King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had the musicians and the astrologers called and all his wise men. He said, he called them in. He said, all right, listen. He said, listen, I've had a dream. I can't remember the dream, but I had one. And I want to know what the dream is, and I want to know the interpretation of it. And you should have seen those wise men and those musicians. And they even say it, verse 8 and so says, no king has ever asked this of his wise men. What are you expecting from us? Give us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation of it. Well, that makes King Nebuchadnezzar mad. He said, listen, I can just see him, this is the Eric Crawford interpretation. This is a contemporary interpretation. Those on the internet, I'm kidding. He says, I pay you the big bucks. I've given you homes, I've given you your jobs, I've given you food on the table. I'm telling you, if you do not tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream, you're all going to die. That's what he says. You are all going to die. In fact, he leans over to his chief, the guy in charge of the army, and says, get started. Well, Daniel apparently was not in this crowd. And so word got back to Daniel, hey, the army's out killing all the wise men in the country. And Daniel goes to the leader there of the army and says, listen, let me have an audience for the king. He went before the king and he said, king, give me a little time and I will tell you your dream. And I'll tell you the interpretation of it. What a great, great thing God did for Daniel. And Daniel answered the counsel of the wisdom and goes to the captain there and the king's guard and he gets an audience before the king. It says there in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and with the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now you understand that all these magicians and all the astrologers and all the wise men did not like Daniel. Everybody on board with that? No. How many of y'all think they changed their tune? Daniel shows up the next morning and says, listen, I've got it. I could just see all the magicians saying, what can we do for you, Daniel? How can we help you? How can we be a blessing? Probably got emails all over the place. Therefore, Daniel went into the Antioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Daniel went in, and he answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers, magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Verse 28, listen to this one. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. We read a while ago. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And make known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. So Daniel makes it very clear, as David did when he fought Goliath, it's not about me, it's all about you, Lord. It's not about me, it's all about him. I'm not the one who's giving the interpretation. God is going to answer your dream and your vision and give you the interpretation of it. Instead of going over the the vision he saw. He saw a vision of a statue. Saw a vision of a statue. At the top of this was a man. Of course, it was a statue of a man. At the top, the man had a head of gold. And this was, again, most of you have heard this probably, that the head was a symbol, if you would, an illustration of Babylon. And Babylon would rule for certain years from 626 to 536 B.C. The arms were of silver, speaking of the Medo-Persian Empire, who would rule from 536 to 331 B.C., Cyrus and Darius. The belly and the thighs were of brass, speaking of Greece and Alexander the Great. And then the legs were of iron, speaking of Rome and their rule from 40 B.C. to 476 A.D. Then the toes were of clay and of iron, representing the nations from the Roman Empire, which will be revived. So there is coming the fulfillment of the last part of the statue, which is the toes of clay and iron, which will be the revived Roman Empire. There will be one day 10 kings. Never says 10 nations. 10 kings. Who in some way or another will be ruling in the time in which the Antichrist comes on board. Maybe we'll see that happening before the rapture takes place. Amen? We already see some of this taking place. Now, if it's just kings, or maybe the king is also representative of a leader, then that could either be the United Nations, or it could be the European Union. It does not necessarily mean that it's various nations. It does not mean that it has to be 10 nations. It could be 10 kings who rule over many nations, or 10 leaders who have control of many nations. Everyone with me? So you say, well, man, how could, you know, get kings over in the Middle East? How's that going to happen? Well, a lot of the Middle Eastern countries are ruled by kings anyway. They just don't call themselves that, right? You think Iran is a democracy? You think that election had any validity to it? Absolutely not. A guy is a dictator. He's a king. So, though they may not have the term, and whatever the case is, there are kings already in that region, in that area. The revived Roman Empire. That's going to be something. Ooh, man. Anybody know what happened to the statue? Let's read. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. We won't read this whole thing. That's verse 31. It says, and had toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain, what does it say there? Without hands? And that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, not maybe, but certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. The stone cut out of the mountain is Christ. And Christ will destroy the kingdom of this earth, and His kingdom will be forever, and He'll rule and reign forever as King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. And we have skimmed the surface. We will touch upon chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I would like to get into the interpretation of the bear and the eagle and those things. We'll talk about those as well. It may take a couple of weeks. That's all right, isn't it? We haven't done the book of Daniel in a long time. We taught the book of Daniel on a Wednesday night back when we were in the storefront. And so we'll look forward to that. Daniel, a godly man. He's proactive in his decisions to live a godly life. Let's be proactive in our decisions. I'm going to live godly. I'm going to do right. Secondly, God rules in the affairs of man. I don't care what you read on the Sunday morning paper, the weekly paper, what you listen to on the evening news or Fox News or CNN, the Clinton News Network. I don't care what you listen to, what you're reading. It will depress you if you're not careful. But always in the back of your mind, always in the back of your mind, you should be saying to yourself, we're getting towards the end. The end is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. Christ rules in the affairs of men. We're getting closer. One day, God will set up His kingdom, and that kingdom will be forever. You know what? There'll be no politics in His kingdom. Amen? Woohoo! Life without politics. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing a verse of invitation tonight. 163, hymn 163, Only Trust Him. Maybe tonight you want to come pray for somebody. Maybe come pray for your camper. You've written down and you're going to pray for a specific camper. We do know we have at least one unsaved with us at camp, probably three of our teenagers who probably are lost. So let's be in prayer for them tonight. Whatever your need is, you come tonight as we sing. Only trust Him.